Well, I want to welcome everybody to another wonderful edition of Saturday AM Live. It's February 13th, and want to wish everybody a happy Olympic season, I guess if you could call it that. The Winter Games started last night, and tomorrow is the start of the Chinese New Year, and something we celebrate in our home and had a little gathering last night. And just a ton of fun. Our guest this morning is a, wow, this is kind of a joy for me because of my love for the game of football. And Tony played for Texas Tech. And Tony, you're going to have to remind me of all the great details because all I wrote down was Texas Tech goofball. And I'm not sure what that really means, so you're going to have to elaborate. I got from an inside source, that's what kind of was your nickname back on the ball field when you were playing. And what position did you play?
Well, actually, it's the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Okay.
And
It wasn't the Longhorns.
No, it was the Red Raiders.
Red Raiders.
Lubbock,
okay.
Texas. And I originally got recruited as a pulling guard, offensive guard, and once I got up there. They moved me to the defensive tackle, mostly nose tackle.
Okay. And when you were playing nose tackle, what, just so people have an idea, because they can't see you, and I've never had the privilege of meeting you in person as well, give us an idea what, when somebody was facing you, that your job was to tackle them, about how big a person would be coming down on top of your opponent.
Oh, well, I was back in my playing days. I was about 6'1". I was weighing about 325. And I ran 4'7", 4'8", 40.
Okay, so for those of us who don't follow the game of football, elaborate on what that meant. So you could move to 325 pounds of...
Pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. And take out the opponent in a very fast... mode, obviously. Now, what were you majoring in college?
I'd gone in, I've always been an artist, so I'd gone in for a graphic design, visual communications, and I'd always wanted to own my own screen printing company, so I also was minoring in business management.
Okay. And so, with that in mind, tell us what happened after college.
Well, actually, I went in there. It'd been a struggle for me to get to college. I had been recruited right out of high school, and we had some trouble with actually getting in with the head coach I had in high school. So I actually sat out a year, and just my desire to want to be playing up there at that level, because all those, well, what happened, he got my letters from intent to those colleges, and he would send them back saying that I wasn't, he didn't believe I was able to pay at that level.
Wow.
So that kind of turned some of the coaches away, and I guess that's always stuck in my head that someone was telling me I couldn't do something, and I'd always been the kind that was told I could do whatever I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat out a year, worked at a screen printing company in Austin, Texas, and just saved up money, and one day I just decided to tell my mom, hey, Mom, I need to go see if I can do this, and I ended up signing up at Texas Tech admissions and went and talked to Coach Parker, who was one coach that I had always been in contact with, was a recruiting coordinator.
Okay.
And ended up telling him I wanted to try to walk on and see if I could get my scholarship back. So I went to school that summer and worked out with the team, ran with the team, and did a lot of extracurricular activities with the team, doing workouts and... finally got my chance to try to walk on a team and ended up making it and was going to get my scholarship back in the spring that I was told. But just financial reasons, and then my mom got real sick. So I just decided I actually never got to really play football on the field, but I did make the team. And that was one dream that I really had to let go and move back home and try to help my mom and dad with finances, and then with both of them getting sick and stuff, just taking care of them. And that was really what my life was after that, just from the 1989 on was just taking care of mom and helping them out.
Okay, so you really, this was not a walking into playing football, the dream of your life, you know, basically with the silver spoon. You had to fight for it.
Yeah, I really had to work for every little bit I got.
I mean, just the sheer fact of having a coach that doesn't believe in you is not exactly the type of coach that we'd want to sign up with.
Yeah.
So moving back home, were you able, obviously, to eventually develop a go into the graphic arts and the silk screening business?
Well, I had always been an artist, and I always did that kind of work, so that's what I went into. I had a small shop that I did at home, and then I worked at a bigger shop during the daytime hours. So I was always involved in that industry. And actually, that's where in 1999. I always remember that date. It's June 2nd, 1999. That's when I was working at a screen printing shop, and I had hurt myself in high school with powerlifting. I had herniated a disc in my lower back, but back then I was young, and I guess injuries didn't really last too long, so I got over it real quick. But already being a year or two out of school and not really working out like I used to, I herniated it again, I pulled another one right beside it, the one right above the one I had hurt before. So actually after that I was down for a year and a half, bedridden for a year, and really couldn't do nothing from 1999 to probably about mid-2000, just trying to figure out ways to just get over the pain and do what I had to do, and finally met a doctor that gave me an epidural, and it kind of helped me out so I could at least start walking again.
Okay.
And
now, one of the two questions that I'm always getting in trouble for you know, when I have female guests on my call here is that I've been told, you know, it's not politically correct to ask, you know, weight and age.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to guess that you didn't maintain your lean, mean 325-pound frame.
Oh, no. It was, I think that year I was bedridden, I probably gained I gained 100 pounds. So I went up all the way to 425 pounds, and that's when my life really just went downhill. I lost a lot of my mobility. I just wasn't the same person no more. I still try to stick with the industry, working at T-shirt shops here and there and doing artwork and stuff, but I got also to a point where I couldn't even stand long enough to do a whole job, an 8-hour job of screen printing as well. So I was forced to start working nights, and doing jobs that really didn't take that much physical work, or just jobs where I could just sit most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I was doing. And I started working at mostly at juvenile camps and stuff, where I could just work the night shifts and just watch kids sleep and monitor them while they were sleeping.
So really nothing to do with what your passion was?
Nothing at all. Just really trying to just get a check so I can make the bills and do what I have to do at home.
Okay. Did you at any time feel like the dream of doing what you wanted to do was pretty much over?
I had lost everything. I had lost hope of even doing anything anymore. I knew I just didn't see any doors opening anymore. I was just frustrated all the time. Because I was just the kind of guy that always wanted to be working out, always wanted to be playing softball, or just always doing something. And now I couldn't even walk 20, 30 feet without pain.
Okay, so what, I'm sure that we could get, not to play on words, but get into the graphic details of how miserable it was because of the injury. So transition us and tell us how Nikan entered the scene.
Yeah, well, it's been, like I said, that was my life for a long time, just really struggling, working dead-end jobs that really didn't have no kind of benefits or no sort of investment at all. And I was just really, just real depressed. And then, I guess in July of 2009. I got married in 2003 and to a wonderful woman that really backing me up, and she was always there for me, and just to. I'm sorry.
Nope, you don't have to apologize at all.
I just always had a real beautiful family backing me up, and my wife was always there for me, and just always, even then, I never thought I would get married because of the way I was, and I really didn't have nothing to offer nobody, and it just amazed me that she said yes when I asked her to marry me, because I knew I really wasn't going to be able to give her a life at all. I was just always going to, she was just going to be stuck in the hole I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had when I was working and just working and just always in pain, I couldn't even sit down sometimes just from the pain in my back, and I had hurt my knees a couple of times in football also, so I was going through knee pain also and just arthritis from that.
Sure.
And I remember one day when I got into Neekin, it was in last year, I knew Terry Latham was in something, because I met him again about 10, I saw him at a mall about 10 years after we had got out of school, after we were rooming for a while together up there in Lubbock.
Okay.
And I think he was already involved in Neekin. And I just remember we just kept in touch through emails and Facebook and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I always remember one day, the day I contacted him, I had just was at a point where I was going to work at night again. I was just like, I'd be awake a certain time of the day, and then 2 o'clock would come, was usually my sleep time. And I said, well, it's time to go back to bed, get ready for work tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember right before I did that, I opened up my Facebook. I think it was around Terry's birthday, so I was going to just give him a little birthday message.
Sure.
And when I opened up his website, I had seen a little video he had on about where they had made the Consultant of the Year in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at it, and I just saw, like, everything that I ever wanted in my life was happening to them. I saw their freedom they had to be with their family, the financial freedom they had. And so I just kind of looked into that at first. But then when I started researching the company, I really didn't know nothing about products or nothing. And I started looking at testimonies about how people were getting off of pain by using just different things. So I gave him a call, and I said, Terry, I really want to see what you're doing and see if it can help me out. And he came over one day. We had lunch and kind of discussed what I was looking for. And then he came over to my house, and I was going to try to have a little gathering with some family members. And a lot of people know how that goes. You invite so many people, and then no one shows up. So I ended up calling him. I said, Terry, I don't think anybody's going to show up, man. Just, I guess you can cancel it. We'll just do it some other time. He says, no, I'm going to come in and just talk to your mom and dad and your wife and yourself. So he ended up coming anyway and brought a few products. And mom and dad have been, my mom's been on diabetic since probably 85, I believe.
Okay.
So, and my grandfather was diagnosed with diabetes, and I saw him lose his limbs to diabetes. He eventually died from diabetes complications.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my biggest fear, because I knew I was headed that same way. Everything I was seeing, I knew one day that was going to be my life, being on dialysis and be a half a man with no legs or whatever. And that really scared me.
Sure.
So when Terry came over, and like my mom, like I said, she's been diabetic since 85. She's already lost a lot of her feeling in her legs, and there'd been a lot of times we'd been afraid that she was gonna have her legs amputated a lot of times. And thank God she never had. But right away he put her on a body energizer, and my mom's toes started tingling, and she started having feeling in her hand and on her feet. Then she had a. From being on diabetes, they became diabetic. I mean, on dialysis, her and my dad. And my mom lost a lot of feeling on her hands due to the surgeries they do to him for the grafts and stuff for the dialysis, where she wouldn't be able to close her hand or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So Terry gave her the Mag Boys, and she was playing with the Mag Boys sitting on the body energizer. All of a sudden, she starts moving her toes, and her hand starts closing, opening, closing. So right away, we just saw a project experience right away, just like, dang, there is something here. And so me and my wife and my mom and dad, we all decided, well, let's give it a go. I said, I know we don't have the money right now to really invest in it, but it's like, I've always been told there's a will, there's a way. So eventually, we signed up with the membership, and a couple weeks later, we were able to get around to where we could buy the metal pack and start putting a lot of the products in our house. And then I started drinking the water. And a couple weeks later, I started noticing that my sugar counts were real low all the time. And I had been struggling like crazy to get those in order. I was always, every time I go to the doctor, she threatened me that she was going to put me on insulin. And I just tell her, no, I don't want that. Yeah, I don't want that. Let me just keep on trying.
So let me get this straight, Tony. Out of the fear or the knowledge of what your family members had already gone down the road of being diabetic, you knew that you needed to be proactive. So you were already monitoring your sugar levels.
No, I was. Every time my mom would check them, I was right there beside her checking mine, because I knew if I didn't keep up with them, I was going to end up where they were at.
Okay.
So I was always trying to do my best, what I could do to keep them where they had to be. And it just seemed like I was probably on three different medications and trying different kinds of shots that they had for, like, playing like guinea pig for my doctor. And she was just trying this and that all the time. And just nothing was working. And it was amazing to me that just drinking this water, that's all I was doing. I was just drinking the water. And
did you even have the insoles in your shoe, the mag steps?
Oh, and I also, once we got the insoles, I put the insoles in my shoes, and I started feeling a lot of energy at work, where I was able to start walking again. And I put the back flex in my back, and then that started giving me more movement in my back, where it wasn't hurting no more. So I just started seeing a lot of stuff, and little by little, I've been getting better and better.
Okay.
But the real thing that really was a big thing to me was my mom and dad, because being on dialysis, they would come home. To me, I was like living. I always say I was living in the house with living dead, because that's how my mom and dad were. They were just sitting down. They weren't moving no more. It was just like they were two lifeless people.
Okay, and I'm sure you didn't make that comment out of disrespect. It's simply that physically, their bodies had, they'd seen better days, obviously.
Yeah, the diabetes was already taking a toll on them, and then the dialysis procedure was just draining them. When I'd take them to their dialysis sessions, they were barely getting out of the truck and walking in. My mom was using a walker, and when he was able to walk too far. My dad was always a workaholic.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 20 hours a day he was outside working and just getting a little 3-4 hours of sleep. Other than that, he was doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see my dad just become like I said, just a mummy. He just wasn't doing nothing, just laying there, just lifeless, had no motivation to do nothing.
So he gets on Niken products, and things changed.
They start sleeping on the bed. Cause I put the bed on their bed, and they start sleeping with the comforter, and drinking the water. And all of a sudden, I just saw my mom and dad just start walking again. My dad started walking around the block, around the neighborhood. My mom was getting to where she was forgetting her walker and her canes now, and just jumping out of the truck and going into dialysis like it was nothing now. Coming out, they were coming out in better spirits. It just, to me, the Niken gave my mom and dad back to me, and it's given me my life back.
Mm. Okay. Now, it hasn't just stopped with your folks. as well. You've introduced Nick into a few other family members, right?
Yeah, I've been lucky to have the support of my family. Actually, that meeting that we were supposed to have the first time, everyone that had canceled, the reason they had canceled, they were at a softball team at a practice that my cousin had started up, and it was mostly family members. So that evening, my cousin called. He said, "Hey, y'all still having that meeting?" I said, "Yeah, we're here. Terry's here." He said, "Well, they all showed up." So from just the four of us, we ended up having the house of probably about 15 people. And Terry was always saying, "Man, Tony, you need to start canceling your meetings. That's just start showing up after you cancel them." So we ended up having a real good meeting afterward, and Terry started doing a lot of the presentations that they did, the finger test with the far infrared wrist wrap, the water test, the balance test, and my family just floored with what they were seeing. They were like, "What is this? How does this work?" And they just saw the vision right off too, and they all signed, a bunch of them signed up that night and got into it with me.
Okay, and so how many to date? Is it 13, 14?
I believe it's like 14 altogether.
14 altogether, so 15 including you in the family. And tell us what's happened. Because this has been, not even a year since you've joined, and a few of your family members, including yourself, have seen some income derived as a result. What's that all about?
Yeah, I started. Actually, I signed up in July, and just off the bat, people just started signing up, and I remember telling Terry, I said, "Dude, I don't even know what I'm doing. Just people just signing up." I go tell them, and they just sign up. And for a long time, even to this day, I'm still trying to understand the whole concept of what a consultant is, just because it's been happening so fast. Actually, I don't think since that first meeting, me and Terry have actually sat together since then. He's just been taking care of what he's doing, being a great leader, and just showing me what I have to do. And everything's just moving up. I finally hit silver in November. I got another cousin that's fixing to hit silver pretty soon, and it's just been a great blessing in my family.
And see, I know personally that you've been trained well, because you've even got the lingo down. You know, if Terry's been mentoring you, he's got you dialed in. It's fixing to hit silver. See, up here in the Northwest, if someone says fixing, we go grab our tools. But you guys got it dialed in. You're getting the job done too.
Yeah,
that's what counts. So what if you had to look back, Tony? You said Tony had been kind of showing you all the different things to do and what needed to take place. What is there one thing that, you obviously having a passionate story of not only what the products have done for you, but also your parents. When you said, they gave you your parents back, your family back, was there something looking back that even in the last few months that you've said, this is what I've been doing and it's working?
I think just talking to people. I work at a job where there really is no advancement, so a lot of my coworkers are in the same shoes I am. They just, if they don't do that, that's probably where they're going to be the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And they're noticing me, my mobility and my ability to do a lot of things I hadn't been able to do a lot. So a lot of I talk to them a lot, and that's what I've noticed, and just talking to people and then figuring out what they're looking for, and then showing them that there is something out there that can help them out. And that's been a big thing that's been helping me, just talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And I'm curious, because I emailed or spoke with Terry a couple weeks ago, he had said that a few of your family members have actually gotten a decent check. And, a lot of people say, well, don't just talk about the money. And, in our culture today, money kind of makes the world go around. Right. And when there's a definite lack of it, it's okay to brag on a company that is paying some nice dividends. What have some of your family members been able to see?
Yeah, I got another cousin that me and him have been doing a lot of stuff together. He's actually the one that showed me how to screen print and got me into the screen print industry. His name was Luis Cisneros. So right away when I saw this, I knew this was something that he would be great at. Because to me, he was just always that kind of person who was just out there to go-getter and was I know he was always the kind that was looking for something to make it. And I knew I had something that would make him successful if he just got into it. And right away, like me, his brothers and sisters saw it right away, right off the bat, and he ended up signing, I think, three of his sisters and a couple of cousins on his side of the family, and ended up making a pretty good amount of check. I think he ended up getting like close to $1,600 his first check.
Wow.
Because of the power launch bonus that we have now.
Okay.
That opened a lot of eyes, and a lot of people start seeing that and said, well, we can do that too. I said, yeah, you can do that. Just got to go out there and get them. Just go out there and talk to them.
Well, and the thing is, $1,600, and I would guess he probably invested to get his business going.
Uh-huh.
He probably invested about that much, but if he'd already understood the concept of business, it takes money to make money.
Yeah.
And but the difference is he's not buying a bricks and mortar structure. He actually bought stuff that he gets to enjoy and use. I mean, you can only buy so many T-shirts and wear them, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious. Where do you see this going for you, Tony, and your family? I would think there'll be a day that in the not too distant future where you're looking forward to. Are you still working graveyard, at night?
I'm still working just because Terry tells me to stick it out a little longer.
Okay.
Because I'm really ready just to leave that and just hit this full speed.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking of giving it a couple more months and then just getting on this. So I just see a potential out there to just really set my family free if I hit this the way I'm supposed to hit it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that from experience, once you've, Terry's got you going on the right direction, obviously, and that, when you can replace your current income after, 2-3 months consistently, consecutively as well, that's probably a good time to evaluate and see what can happen, especially as you said that, most of your colleagues that you're working with, they, if something doesn't change, they're going to be in the same boat 10 years from now, and so stepping out and being full-time Nikan will definitely send a message loud and clear. Do you see this, do you vent? I guess when, looking back from what you had shared about your dreams of going into the, the screen printing industry, do you see that still being a part of your life in the future? Or
I'm always talking about it. I'm always telling my mom and my wife, I said, this is going to give me that little push that I've been looking for to be able to one day be able to own my own shop and do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to be a real good vehicle to get me to that point.
Okay. And one other thing that just popped into my head when you talk about the dream coming back, and you said when you got married in 2003 and you got choked up there for a bit, which is totally understandable. What has this done for you and your wife? What has Nikan done for you guys?
I could just see a life. I even saw her become a whole new person since we've been in this. She's got more excitement. She's more, we do a lot. We just in the little time we've been, we got more time to spend with each other. My stepson, even him, he's always bragging about Nikan and he's excited about when we have meetings and stuff. It brought us a lot closer. Because, there was a point where we were kind of falling apart just because of the stresses and the financial issues we were going through. And now we're seeing it, that we can have a real good life together with this.
Sure. And you guys have had the opportunity to take part in Humans Being More?
We went to Humans Being More this last month in Houston, and that was like probably the straw broke the camel's back, and just really, really opened us up on everything that we need to do, and the potential that we have in ourselves to get where we want to get.
Okay. And one last question. I want to finish with this because I'm curious. When you said you know, Terry, encourage you to just to keep talking to people. What is it that you say to someone that, let's say you bump into a friend you haven't seen in a while, you just simply pick up the phone and call them. How do you segue and introduce Nikin?
A lot of them, because usually it's just right now just a lot of my friends that I've been talking to, so I kind of more or less know what they're going through. So it's mostly just finding out where they're at and what they want, and listening to them. These trainings I've been going through this past month with Larry Prophet and stuff. That's why I guess I really learned a lot too, where you just don't go in straight with trying to sell something or being like a salesman. Go in there and make friends and find out what people are really looking for, and then you know you got the answers to if it's going to be a financial problem, if it's going to be a time problem, that they need more time with the family. Nikin has the answer to all that, and you just got to fit them into their story, and then let them see where they fit in. And once they see that they fit into it, you just see their eyes open up, and you just see that smile right away that, well, I can do this too.
Okay. So it really has nothing to do with so much of knowing that you've got the answer they're looking for. It's finding out, really, to get them to acknowledge that they're looking for something.
Uh-huh.
You know. So, well, exactly. Well, hey, Tony, if you don't mind, we got a few minutes left here that I'd said that, you know, I only wanted to hogtie you for about 40 minutes, and there might be some, I'm sure there is, some folks listening right now that have a question that I probably haven't asked, and so if you're listening in right now and want to throw a question Tony's way, all you got to do is hit *6 on your phone, and that'll put you into us and take you off the muted system. So again, *6 will allow, and if we've got a question, well, maybe Tony can give you an answer, which I'm sure he can.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. So anybody got a question that you want to throw at Tony?
Hey, Tony, this is Vance's dad.
Uh-huh.
Now you got him balling. Thanks, Tony, because now I'm going to have to deal with that today.
I was just curious, did you ever have your back operated on?
I was trying to get away from that. I always try to do everything I could where I didn't have to get cut. Not just because I didn't want to, probably, but just the fear of needles and getting cut. So no, I never had my back surgery.
Well, you know, I could relate a lot to what you were talking about. I couldn't walk, so I was, you know, desperate. So I had operation, but, you know, the doctor told me that I was going to live with a lot of the pain for the rest of my life. But then when I got introduced to Nikin, you know, my back pain went away, and so I've been blessed there. So it's kind of neat that you and I have the same, you know, same thing, but you haven't had the operation.
Yeah, that was a big fear of me. I already thought that's, because a lot of my pain has really gone away with the back flex that I put on, and I can just feel when I'm walking, it just takes a lot of the stress out of my back. And I was at a point where I really couldn't even walk 15, 20 feet without my back just starting to burn real, real bad, where I just had to sit down all the time. So that went away, and then I'd go walk a little bit more and do the same thing over and over.
Well, it's kind of neat because we're sitting here and thinking that we've been involved with Nikin a period of time now. We're celebrating our 18th year in Nikin, and we've never looked back, so we're looking forward to having you come right along with us.
I appreciate that.
And I believe, Tony, that you've never had the opportunity to meet my folks, correct?
I think I have met them.
Oh, okay.
I think they did a little thing here with us in Lockhart.
Okay. Yeah, we met in Lockhart. Okay. And I know they're coming back down your way.
They're great people.
Yeah, I like them. I'm going to hang on to them for, you know, several more decades. But, of course, I'm kind of biased.
Well, it was nice talking to you again, Tony.
Hey, Vance.
Thank you, Dan.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Diane Gordon in Bastrop.
Go ahead, Diane.
I know Tony and all of his family, and they are awesome. And every time we see him, you know, we got to have a hug from Tony and the others too. So he's going to be super.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you've got your own you know, real life cheerleaders there, it sounds like, Tony.
Yeah.
Just like playing ball again, eh?
That's what me and Terry talked a lot, this that little spark that we lost, not being able to play football again. This is almost like our second chance to relive it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if there any other questions from anyone? All right. Well, we've got a long pause there, so I'll take that as I think you answered questions and you provided a fantastic story.
Hey, Vance?
Yes. Go ahead, Alfredo.
How you doing? Tony, how are your parents doing with the diabetes?
They're doing real well now. I don't think they're probably, I think my mom's maybe down to one medication now, my dad also. Now they're just on the dialysis and just working on that, and even that's changing, because I've met a few people that said that some people have gotten off dialysis. Well, my mom and dad are, I think, little by little, even starting to get a little bit of their kidney function back. They're starting to, I don't know how this sounds, but they're starting to urinate again, so I think that's a good thing when you're in dialysis.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think...
And what products are they taking? Do you know? Offhand?
I'm not really sure. Or the products, the Neacon products?
Correct.
They're just drinking the water. They really have. I'm starting to get on them. Where I want them to get on the osteodense and the bone density stuff and some of the other stuff that they have.
Okay.
But as of July, they've just been sleeping on the bed and drinking water.
Okay. Thank you.
And you said interesting. And again, not to be too descriptive, but you said them being able to urinate again is a big deal.
That is, that's kind of like their kidneys are kind of working a little bit now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I didn't even ask you this, Tony. Your parents' age right now are what?
My mom is 62 and my dad is 60.
Okay. Okay. So they've been dealing with diabetes for how long?
My mom, probably about 23 years.
Okay.
And my dad probably about three or four.
Okay, so recently with your dad, but your mom a couple decades here. So, and it's just, that's not something that just naturally, all of a sudden, miraculously gets better on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So obviously something's working here. And, you know, that's one of those great reminders of the power of what we have that literally separates us as Neacon Wellness Consultants from anything else that's out there. We just... It makes all the difference, and you keep saying the main big thing is the water, and it's one of those things that if we could just get people started on there, and what's neat is fairly soon here we will have our water bottles back, so that'll really take all the excuses away of people saying, well, I just can't afford it. Well, they'll be able to afford it for sure.
Yes, sir.
So, well, Tony, I want to say thank you. I know that there'll be other people that would probably want to jump on here and throw a question your way, and but for the sake of time, I want to kind of wrap things up here. But thank you again for taking 40 minutes out of your schedule. I am looking forward to putting a face with the voice and getting a huge Tony hug of myself. I have to be careful because my little body of 145 pounds could probably get enveloped into yours. But looking forward to meeting your family and your folks someday soon. And I think the biggest thing for us that you blessed this morning with your story is we're looking forward to seeing you achieve your dreams.
Thank you, Vince.
And it's not a matter of, you know, if it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And
yep.
You're right on track to pull that off. So our guest again this morning has been Tony. And is it Recio? I never even did ask.
It's Recio.
Recio, I'm sorry. And former Texas Tech Raiders. Get that if out there, and now a Neacon Wellness Consultant, obviously with the passion and drive to impact people's lives, as well as, you know, his family, direct family. And if you know somebody that you know that Tony's story would be a blessing to hear, you can catch the recording via the computer at www.canb4u.biz, and that's C-A-N, the letter B, the number 4, the letter U, .biz, B-I-Z, and / S, as in Saturday, is the website. And also, if you've never joined us live and you're hearing, listening via the recording, and you'll want to do that sometime, we'd love to have you. The phone number to catch us is area code 218-548-1536.
Code 1536.
Again, that's area code 218-548-1536.
Code 1536.